Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Things off with a bang. Filling in for my co-host, Mr. Eddie Pence, Mr. Dave Jensen.
Hi, everybody. And as usual, the Batman host, Nikhil Carulla.
That's right. That's right. Did you hear me? You know, I did a little one of these on accident, like right when the song started.
You mean you knocked over the goblet?
Yeah, I know.
the studio goblet.
The Holy Grail.
We all use that. We all use that, Nikki.
How was your week, man? What did you do?
It was good, man. I hung out with you a couple times.
That's right. Your week must have been amazing.
It was really, really picked up. I also went exploring through Malibu with my dog.
Oh,
on
that must have been fun.
It was awesome. We went to the
beach.
Where
did you go?
We went to Leo Carrillo.
What are you, a poet over here?
Hey. And then we went hiking at Viking. No. We went hiking, and then we were looking for a place to grab lunch. My friend Nate came with us. We were hiking. And we found this awesome cafe up in this little valley in Malibu that's like this local spot where it's all outdoor and super chill, like a summer fair. It was awesome, and it's totally dog-friendly. Totally pet-friendly.
That cafe hasn't been there in 20 years.
Wait, are you saying my waiter was a ghost?
I'm just kidding.
That's sus. I see me.
It doesn't really, really, really correspond at all.
So do they have good sandwiches?
Yeah, they do. They had a really good burger. A really good burger, and they had a braised pork rib sandwich that is really nice. The Malibu Cafe is what
the
it's
Malibu
called.
Cafe.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, yep. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
So it was a nice, pleasant day at the beach.
Really nice.
Just you and some bitches. I'm just kidding. Actually, your dog's a boy.
He's a fella.
I just took my dog to the vet tonight, and it was crazy. Like, the vet was talking to me about, you know, cutting his balls off. Poor guy.
Now hold on a second there.
No, I gotta tell you, he's under the table, and like, you know, there was some sometimes I'm like, he must somehow understand, because as soon as he was just like panting there and just chilling, and as soon as the talk went to cutting the balls off, he just, yeah, he did one of those.
No.
He did one of those.
My universe is doomed.
I'm so mad.
And he just kind of tilted his head like, wait a minute. Yeah. He kept on tilting his head like, maybe I need my balls.
Yeah.
I may need those things.
I haven't thought this all the way through yet.
Yeah, it's a tough decision, but we're going to wait a couple weeks to make that. But, you know, he's all good, and he got checked out, and it was kind of fun to do.
And then it'll be time to go. Done.
I had a crazy week.
Sorry. I'm reacting.
Enough.
All right. I'm going to put a little pause on
NK
it.
Band played Summerfest last week.
That looked awesome.
It was super fun. The night before, I played on a TV show called Wisconsin Tonight, and literally landed off the plane, went straight there, and played music, and had some tacos. There's this amazing taco joint in Milwaukee, of all places.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's unbelievable. Anyways, and then the next day the band came. But the three things I did on the day of the show,
mm-hmm.
they were awesome. I went to this place called the Blues Egg for breakfast.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
When I opened up for Ray LaMontagne last year, he told me he had this cool orange hat. And I was like, where did you get that, man? And he was like, there's an amazing hat store in Milwaukee called the Brass Rooster. So I went from the Blues Egg to the Brass Rooster, okay?
Yep.
I got two hats, one for the show and one just, you know, for another show, perhaps. And, you know, the trifecta was... I've been playing this festival for 9 years, mm-hmm. okay? But I never knew in Milwaukee there is a bronze statue of the Fonz. It's called the Bronze Fonz. So hey. The trifecta was the Blues Egg, the Brass Rooster, and the Bronze Fonz. Mm-hmm. I did all those things, and it was like it was like a great omen, you know, right before the show.
Metallic something.
Dude, the Bronze Fonz has blue jeans on and a black leather jacket. Like, it's painted on. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest, creepiest statue.
I swear they just painted those jeans on Henry Winkler.
And it's life size. So it's actually like his height, and he's a small dude. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of just a weird statue to put like as a monument in Milwaukee, but it was cool to see it. Then we opened up for Gary Clark Jr.
His thumbs were up in the classic.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Hey,
so I take it that you've now been to third base with the statue.
Yeah, that's enough out of here. All right. We go back to the hotel right before we're leaving for the show. Flava Flav of Public Enemy comes out in the lobby. Like, it was just so random. And we knew they were playing a stage over from us, mm-hmm. but we didn't think they'd be staying in our hotel. So Flava Flav comes out, and I'm like, hey, man, we're playing the next stage over from you. And he was like, well, then I need to bless your show, man. Have a good show. You're going to have a good show tonight. I was like, great, man. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I turned to the band. I'm like, Flava Flav just blessed our show. It's going to be a good night. Then we went and played at the Harley-Davidson stage, the stage I haven't played in 3 years. It was actually the last stage I played with Zane, my saxophonist mm-hmm. that passed away. So it was a really emotional, you know, thing. And yeah. the funny thing is I played this song that I wrote for Zane. And, you know, in the middle of the song, there was this dude that was dressed in, like, I don't even know. It was like S&M gear in all leather. He just looked out of place. He had spikes on the leather, and he was just walking around. And he had a bite me tattoo on, like mm-hmm. tattooed on his like back. And it just was, there was this moment where I was like, "That's Zane's way of telling me like don't take things so seriously." Okay, he's all right.
Okay. I was waiting to get the message. Now. Like,
because it was right in the middle of a song, and I was like having this like real. I was like really digging in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just saw this, and I was like, "Dude, of all times." For that guy to show up at the gig. Yeah. He shows up right in the middle. He walks in the back row and then walks up to the front and sits like right in front of me. It was just like, I'm going to laugh now. Okay. But anyways, we got to meet Gary Clark Jr.'s band and hang mm-hmm. with them. And then I had a young musician that I met in St. Louis sitting with us. And when we went back to the hotel afterwards, all of us were kind of like staying up late. And I was like ready to crash, and I was like, you know what? The only way I'll stay up is if there's a Public Enemy after party in our hotel. So we walk into the lobby. Public Enemy is like hanging out in the lobby of the hotel. So we ended up like eating with them, and people were like partying and drinking and smoking, and it was super, super fun, man. I got to meet It wasn't that kind of party.
Okay.
But it was like a good time. So came back, and then as soon as I came back home, I actually drove up to Santa Clara and saw the Grateful Dead, which was a fun, crazy experience because I drove up and drove back. But it was super fun. Crazy, crazy week. And I don't know if I have many more of those kind of voyages to come back from a music festival and drive straight up, you know, and straight back after a concert.
You're getting too old for this.
I'm getting those days are down the toilet for me, if you know what I mean. And on that note, I think our special guest has arrived.
You like that?
Step for step. Are you trying to one-up my doorbell? Mr. Ari Hairstand, say hello. How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Sorry. Dave, you could have chimed in. I mean, I was taking a drink of water.
I know. You stopped short.
It was great. You stopped short a lot, Dave.
Yeah.
Well. Just kidding. So, Ari,
yeah.
I know that you are good friends with Nina Story, who's been a guest on this show before.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got into music. And you have a lot of stuff going on with your music blog and all that good stuff. I actually found and discovered Ari through a music blog about Apple Music.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a second. But first, give us...
Let's back it up a minute.
All right. Yeah, what's up?
Where are you from? Let's dive into this.
We're a little obnoxious.
No, we're very cool. Obnoxious. Yeah.
He's like trying to have a serious interview.
It's fantastic. I want my own little iPad sound effect board. Where's my
board?
You
can't have one, okay? What do you think? You're a funny man?
You earned it.
Come on. Yeah, earn it, baby. All right. Afterwards, that's the prize that we get when we finish. We do a good job. Yeah. We get like one button, and then I can walk around and just do the one button all day.
Which one should it be? I think I'm going to give him this one.
That's a decent one.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
That's the one I
want. There
we
go.
That's good. Small children.
So how'd you get into music? Where are you from?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Summerfest, because I grew up in Wisconsin, and I played Summerfest a few years. It's a great festival.
It's my favorite festival. I played a lot of them, and that's my favorite ones.
It's great. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, but I kind of started my music career in Minneapolis, because I went to school there, and that's where I really just kind of got into music there. So I was living there for 7 years and just kind of playing around. I was going to the University of Minnesota for 1 year, and I started playing around campus and then expanded to the city and then around the state and the region and just kind of, you know.
And when you were touring solo or with a band or what?
Mostly touring solo. Nice. And then most of the shows in Minneapolis, I would play with the full band because we were doing some bigger venues and to kind of fill the space up. And cool. it was great. And then I came out here about 5 years ago. I couldn't take
big change. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I needed to get away from the winters. That was kind of the main reason. So
winters are so bad,
dude.
Over there, man. It's brutal.
Yeah, it was intense. But I had some singer songwriter friends who were out here and some family, and so it was.
They're like, it's a magical place. You should come.
Yeah,
it's great.
I met actually a bunch at Summerfest because I was booking a stage there for
which
a couple
stage.
Well, it was the Chipotle Rhythm Kitchen from So I was booking 07-08. I was booking that stage. So I booked a ton of singer songwriters from LA, and I met so many of them. I'm like, man, there's just so much talent out in LA. And Minneapolis is a great music scene, but not too many singer songwriters, not too many artists doing the same thing as I was doing. So,
why do you think that is? What is it? What's the big thing there?
It's
hip hop, I assume.
Huge hip hop scene, obviously with the Rhymesayers and Atmosphere. Huge kind of there's still the Prince scene. Everyone kind of has a 1 degree of separation from Prince. Mm-hmm. I studied under Prince's trumpet player. I'm a trumpet player also.
Wow.
So I took lessons from him, and I guess that's my 1 degree. And then a huge indie rock.
Studio audience loves that one.
Wow, took him a minute. Once they just struck him, they really came around.
Prince fans in the audience. and there's a big like indie rock scene there. That's kind of what I would say the overall music scene is really into, is kind of like kind of gritty indie rock. I think I sing a little bit too in key for most of the people in the scene there. So
and you like probably have your guitar too high.
Yeah,
for most
the
indie
too
rockers.
High. I'm not really cool enough for that scene. I'm not super cool in general. And so I would say like I loved a
so
lot.
So you're saying
music
you're like
there.
A lone wolf is what you mean.
Totally.
Not anymore. You aren't a lone wolf.
You gotta have a wolf pack, dude.
Dueling,
that's amazing.
Right. Boards here.
So right
dueling packs. It's fantastic.
So were you turned off from the scene because of that?
I mean, I loved the music there. So I'm actually very inspired by all the music then. It was nice to have so much music that was very different from the kind of music that I was making, because it definitely inspired what I was doing. I played with all the bands there. And so, I mean, it was kind of a very schizo bill that we would have. I mean, I would be the only kind of acoustic singer-songwriter on there, and then we'd have, like, an indie rock group, we'd have a hip-hop act, and we'd have a jam band. And that would be the bill, just because Minneapolis has such a diverse music scene. I loved the musicians, loved the music. I was more turned off by the I guess the media, the music media, because they were kind of very narrowly focused on the indie rock scene. And
really?
I was bringing about 800 people to my shows, and I couldn't get a sentence of ink in any of the papers.
Really?
Or I couldn't get on their local shows. Like I didn't really understand, but
ridiculous.
They just didn't really like my kind of music. So
Gilder and hipsters.
You know what?
Yeah,
you know what?
Basically.
Like I'm gonna actually write about this, on a Facebook post soon, but it's like there's so many gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And these gatekeepers don't play instruments, or they did maybe in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Have never built a brand or built a following
right.
or really know music. They most of them haven't studied music.
Right.
Most of them just don't really give a shit about their job. They're just
deal with their blogs and their emoticons.
Yeah, but it's true. They just think about Jesus. What was that?
I'm so anti these These blogger.
No, types. But I mean, like, these gatekeepers. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. There's mm-hmm. so many of them. I've gone mm-hmm. through so many.
Yeah.
You know, just, and now it's like, you know, the things I'm doing now in my career, I just want to go back to them and be like, yo, like, you didn't have to be a dick, or you didn't right. have to be an ass about how the, you dealt with musicians.
Totally. And the icing, I mean, I guess the straw was when one of these reviewers for the music editor of the largest kind of newspaper in the Twin Cities, was kind of the Free Entertainment Weekly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She reviewed a friend's album. And it was a phenomenal record that they had out. And basically every musical note that she gave in the review was factually inaccurate. Like, right. it just – I mean, mm-hmm. she was trying to talk about music, and she really didn't understand music.
Yeah, it's
music.
Like I'd love to be on a panel with those people and be like,
yeah.
hey, how many flats are in B-flat?
Right.
Let's talk music. If you really right. want to talk like you are an authority on yeah. music, let's talk music.
Right.
Let mm-hmm. me see what you know about the basics of music. That's yeah. like the ABCs or the 1-2-3s.
Yeah.
And then if you can prove that you know that, let's talk music.
Dude, the
let's
one
talk
review,
music.
Yeah. the one review, the big review that I did get, it was from the University of Minnesota's newspaper. But that had a big readership. The music editor there despised me for some reason. I don't know why. I must have slept with his girlfriend or something like that. But hey. Oh,
studio audience is getting a little.
Sorry, we'll take it back if you know. But the one review that he did give me, he didn't actually talk about my music at all. It was like six paragraphs of my wardrobe. He hacked into my Facebook account and ripped on my favorite movies.
Really?
Oh yeah. He like man. Wrote about who he thought my fans were, even though he'd never been to one of my concerts, and it was like
Dude,
really intense. Like,
I don't need to go to the show. I'll just right. check out his Facebook
right,
page.
Totally.
Minnesota, yeah, like, what's going on?
I know. But that's the thing, is just like that was the medium, but the musicians were incredible.
Yeah.
The music was really great.
Well, that's always how it is.
Right.
It's always these assholes that are like that think that they know music, that
yeah.
think that they have a voice to even cut down musicians, or even
right.
you know, to big somebody up, when it's like, you know what? Like I know the performers, like, you know, Prince mm-hmm. I think is amazing.
Right.
But Prince went through the same thing. Going,
yeah.
You know, it's
he had
like
to go everywhere else.
Now yeah. he's Prince, but mm-hmm. and everybody's like, oh yeah, Prince is the best.
Right. Right.
But you know, he went through so many like gatekeepers too.
Totally.
That were like, yeah, you're not black enough. Yeah, you know, 17-year-old kid producing his own records.
Right.
Yeah, what do you really know? You
right,
know, and it's
right.
like he just basically was like, well, actually, I probably know a lot more than you do. You
yeah,
know, so.
Yeah.
That's how it comes down to, mm-hmm. you know, the musicians are usually the ones that are working on their talents and their crafts.
Right.
And the critics are usually not, you
yeah.
know, and
yeah.
trying to sound like they know what they're talking about, but usually they don't.
Totally.
You know.
But, I mean, I still love the music scene that I try to keep up with. And actually, my new record I recorded there, I went back to Minnesota and worked with a bunch of great musicians there who I totally admire. I worked in the studios there. So I still have ties to Minneapolis.
Right.
And I stay in touch with a lot of those people there as well. So
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Definitely.
So you came out here 5 years ago,
yeah.
and you came out solo.
Yeah, I came out just me and my girlfriend. We moved out here and just got a U-Haul and drove it on out.
That's amazing.
And yeah, it was, you know, we found a place. We lucked out. We got a good location. And then I knew that I wanted to see the hotel cafe and go to the hotel cafe because I've
yeah.
been hearing about this venue
right.
for so long. I saw the tours that came through.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of – I started going there a lot, and I kind of made that my de facto home. And then I started playing there. I got like one of the artists that I toured with. They kind of opened for my Midwest tour, and they kind of got me into the hotel cafe. And so that's been kind of my home the last few years. Which
it's a great venue.
Great. Yeah,
yeah,
I love
venue.
That spot.
It used to be half the size.
I
so I played
that.
It when
yeah.
it was half the size,
okay.
and I played it when it got big. And
yeah.
I love both rooms.
You know they're opening another room right
Where?
Next door. Literally.
Really?
Yeah, it's in
oh, I
construction
heard that.
Right now.
It's the one to the right of
yeah,
the venue,
if you
right?
walk in, and you can actually get to it from the front bar area, and you can just walk around to the back, and it's even... It's about the probably the size of the original small room. It's
That's
really
crazy.
Tiny,
That'd
but
be
yeah.
Cool.
So they're gonna have two rooms now, right next.
I
room.
Love that venue because it's very songwriter friendly.
Totally,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it can be a little bit of a scene, but at
mm-hmm.
the same time, there's some really great music that I've seen. Chris Martin went and did a set there, like, yeah, randomly.
Oh,
and
yeah. John Mayer shows up and does it.
One singer-songwriter fills that space.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and it, but it which keeps nice. It intimate. You know?
Totally.
And I was also impressed that you just, like, got into a U-Haul and drove all the way over here. Because Dave actually, you know, he didn't want to use U-Hauls. He used Sheep. That was his way of transportation.
Thinking about it right now, about back then.
I'm just kidding.
We met our way.
Well, let's get to your music. What are you going to play for us? What's the first song you're going to play for us?
Yeah, well, actually, I guess because it's kind of a nice segue and plan it, but I'll do a song about the first time that I kind of came to LA from Minnesota. It was January. It was blizzarding and negative 20 degrees when I left Minnesota. Wow. And I arrived here, and you know, it is like it is. Exactly.
If I may.
That's exactly what it was. So yeah, this is kind of about that first experience of just getting to LA for the very first time.
Cool. Awesome.
I have seen winter storms so extreme, they bury cars. But this January is not what I've known. So far from home, I'm taking a walk down San Vicente Boulevard, where palm trees line the gated yards, driveways keep expensive cars. I fell in love with California. I'd like to say I wasn't warned, but January's never felt like this before. Amy and I, looking on through the gates with intercoms, we fantasize that we're on the inside, on this street that we belong. I'm taking a walk down San Vicente Boulevard, where palm trees line the gated yards, driveways keep expensive cars. I fell in love with California. I'd like to say I wasn't warned, but January's never felt like this before. I wonder how success is measured. I don't. Find ourselves in what we treasure. We'll get there. I'm taking a walk down San Vicente Boulevard. I'm taking a walk down San Vicente Boulevard. Taking a walk down San Vicente Boulevard, where palm trees line the gated yards, driveways keep expensive cars. I fell in love with you again. I'd like to say I wasn't born, but January's never felt like this before. Very nice.
Thanks. Your applause was good. We can get another one. Yeah. Oh, hey, that guy in the back, yes. You.
Settle down,
you
sir.
You gotta settle down. Seriously.
Tell your wife to put her top back on.
Dude, that was great, man.
Thank you.
You really have a nice. Very Colin Hay kind of influence, man.
I love Colin Hay. He's actually, that that Garden State soundtrack. You remember that from back in the day? That was
so
a good. Huge influence on
so
me.
So good. Such a great record.
And so that record introduced me to Colin Hay, and so then I got his a few more of his records.
You never knew Men at Work?
I knew the one song, but that was it. I never really listened to any Men at Work, and so. But Colin Hay's solo stuff is so different from Men at Work.
Dude, you know what? It's so I've opened up for him. I opened up for him, I think 10 years ago, and I saw his whole band play, and I was like, okay, this almost sounds like a cover band. You know, it's not the original Men at Work guys.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. Then he came out for his first encore and just played solo. Ugh, and I was just like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need anybody.
Totally.
It's a totally different thing.
And I love that his record is just him and an acoustic guitar. The entire record. Yep. It's, and he can pull it off so beautifully. It's
Dude, great. he's unbelievable. Yeah. So I met him again recently at Largo. I went and saw him play because he never really tours that much.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, man, I opened for you 10 years ago and... Like I got way into your solo stuff right after, and you know, he was like, he had a big beard, he had a big, he's from Scotland, really.
Oh, yeah.
He's like Scottish and Australian, which is like such a weird combination, but he was super cool. But you got that same kind of bag in your like vibe and the acoustic vibe, man.
Yeah, thanks.
So it's a great sound. It's a great sound.
Thank you.
Real quick, let's talk a little bit about your music blog. You got a crazy music blog. Tell us how that started. And
So it's called Ari's Take. And I started about 3 years ago. I mean, basically, I've been managing my music career from the beginning on my own. So I haven't had a manager, and I booked all my non-college shows on my own.
Did you go through NACA?
I did NACA. So I have a college booking agent, but basically I've booked about 600 other shows, just clubs, festivals, that kind of stuff around the country. And so I was getting a lot of questions from musicians around the country, and especially in Minneapolis, about kind of just various questions of just kind of how do you book a tour? How do you negotiate with a club owner? Or how do you get songs placed on TV? Or like, you know, these things that I had to kind of learn the hard way doing it on my own.
Me too.
Right. And all musicians kind of learn it the hard way. And so I got to a point where I was getting so many questions, I just didn't have enough time to respond to everybody.
Right.
So that's really why I started the blog. I just put up everything that I had learned on my own and just put it up. And so when people would ask me questions like, oh, here, read this article, or oh, go over here, I wrote about that over here. And so people started kind of passing that around, because it's just like when you're starting off, like, There's no direction. Right. No one tells you how to do this stuff.
Like, it's crazy.
I even went to music school. Just 1 year at the U as a classical trumpet major, and I transferred to this music industry school, kind of like Berkeley, was in the Midwest, studying music business, but they didn't teach me any of that stuff. It was all about like the macro industries. Like, here's how you negotiate a 120-page recording contract. I'm like, when am I ever going to need to go hire a lawyer?
That was in 1985.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, I just put up these like very practical things, like very practical information that, you know, but a lot of people don't know, and I sure didn't know when I started off and everything like that. It's just like, how can you open for another artist, and why can't you just ask them to open, and why it won't work, you know, and like that basic stuff. So I started that about 3 years ago, and it kind of took off, and a lot of musicians started passing around, which was great. Like, I honestly just put it out there as a resource for other musicians to find, because there wasn't really anything out there. Everything that I was reading was either written by a company looking to gain customers.
And nobody's ever done it and then just written about it.
Right. There weren't any actual like working musicians writing about this stuff. So that's really why I started it.
Because all those musicians are just monkeying around, really.
And then from there, a lot of other music industry publications asked me to write various stuff for them too. And then now I've been writing for Digital Music News pretty regularly as well. And then actually a couple months ago, I just got a book deal. So I'm writing a book.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
It's like a totally new thing for me. But I'm basically kind of turning this blog into more of a cohesive long form book. Similar, you know, practical tips from a working musician kind of thing. So
do you have a title yet?
Tentative working title.
Right here.
How to make it in the new music business.
Nice. So, winning. I like it.
Breaking
glasses.
That was like a mazel tov.
I didn't know what to say.
I
was going to say breaking new barriers.
Breaking new barriers.
Thanks, Dave.
No problem.
Let's get to you. What are you going to play us off the record?
Oh,
and tell us about this recording process. How was it for you?
This was the producer that I worked with. I'd worked with him my last few records, and he had just gotten off working with his band called Halloween Alaska.
I'm so glad you said working.
You caught me there. he had just finished working with a band called Halloween Alaska, and that band had one of my favorite well, actually had my favorite drummer on the planet named Dave King. He's in the Bad Plus, and he's in Halloween Alaska, and he's in a bunch of kind of progressive jazz groups. But this Halloween Alaska group was this kind of electro pop group that I've been following around Minneapolis for years. And I was just kind of talking to my producer. I'm like, hey, that would be incredible if we got Dave King to drum on the record. Like, that's a dream come true for me. Like, right. I've never met him, but I've seen almost every one of his shows for the last 6 years. He's like, oh, I'll ask him. I'll send him some of your stuff. And so he sent him my demos, and Dave agreed to do it. And so Dave wow. played on every song, which is like, that's seriously awesome. A dream come true.
Which guy is he in this picture?
Inside of that. He's kind of the...
Right next to this bag of dicks pedal.
Right, right. You see the bag of dicks. All right. He's a dude with the hat, this guy. he's that guy, the guy with the hat. Okay. And unassuming dude, but man, he's a monster on the kit. And actually, the song I think we could play... He's pretty featured on it. This isn't the single off the record, but this is one of my favorite songs on the record. So
yeah,
and it really showcases Dave King. So this is called New Day. It's track 14.
Here it comes, New Day. Thank you. love the change coming into the chorus.
Oh,
yeah. Super awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome, awesome change. Just like all of a sudden you're just it's like you're driving on a highway and then you take the right turn and it's just like into that paradise.
Yeah.
As soon as you hit that change, every single time I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. It was just like infinity. I could see it all right there.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying with the drums. It fit perfectly with the melody.
Cool. Yeah, Thank you.
Really good.
That guy's great. He's really got a great pocket. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. We won't fire him.
I've got five pockets. Right. One's for change.
Easy there. Easy. Hey. Come on. Yeah. Keep it PG. At least PG-13. I'm just kidding. So tell me about the next kind of gigs you're doing. I saw a bunch on your calendar.
Yeah.
Where are you playing next?
This Sunday, I'm doing I'm playing at this new spot in Studio City called Fox and Hounds. They've started kind of a Songwriter Sunday.
I've been hearing about this.
Yeah. I mean,
three of my friends have been posting that they love it. What is it?
It's honestly, it's a nice hang. It's just like a lot of songwriters just show up every Sunday night. So from I think 8 to 11 they have three billed songwriters, so like an 8 o'clock, a 9 o'clock, and a 10 o'clock, and then from 11 until 1 it's
open jam,
kind of like like an open mic, whereas like the organizers will pick people out in the audience that they know to just kind of come up and play a song or two. So it's not an open mic in the sense where you sign up and you hear a lot of shitty you know, amateurs, mm-hmm. but it's just a lot of great songwriters show up and do it, and the space is not super awesome. It's a bar in the room. There's no stage. You're playing in front of a glass window that looks out into the street, and there's just one light. But they make up for it with just the environment and the people that are there and the vibe, super hip. And
sometimes, you know what? That's all that matters.
Right.
You know, it's like you could do it in your living room and have that kind of vibe, and it's going
to
be the best.
And it sounds great in there. So that, that's super important. So that's, I'm excited to do that. And it's a free show, which is nice, so anyone can just show up and hang. And
they're aboard!
Right? Hey. And it's like a listening environment. And then the following week, the 12th, I'm actually doing a show with Nina Story.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And
So Nina Story, let me tell you how we, Ari and I, crossed paths. Ari,
take us back.
Okay. So I saw this article on Apple Music Ari wrote, mm-hmm. and they were like, Apple Music chose this up and coming indie songwriter that has no record, has never toured. I'd never heard about this until I read your blog, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like writing like, this is ridiculous. Like, why would you pick somebody that hasn't been out there doing it, mm-hmm. doesn't even have a recorded single, to benefit from the opportunity that your streaming website can give, to indie musicians? And he was just listing off musicians like, you should have used Nina Story.
Does not compute.
And it was just like, why don't you use this person? Why don't you use this person? And I've known Nina for years. Nina's like one of my favorite people on the planet. She's also been our guest on the radio show. So I read his blog and I was just like, yes, this dude is like screaming all the stuff that I'm like screaming out loud too, I reached out to him. I was like, yo man, dude, I've been leading the charge on that movement for a long time, the indie musician thing, and and I hear you, what you're saying, and I'd love to get you on the show to talk about the music blog. And now we're friends on Facebook, and now I'm gonna keep watching your blog, man, because that's important for musicians just to know. But tell us where you're playing on the 12th.
So it's a very new venue called Open Space. It's over on Fairfax.
So new, it's just an open space.
It's just an open space.
Walk down the alley, and there you are.
You got you visualized the building the way you want it to be.
How about that for an open space?
It's right next to Cantor's on Fairfax.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, really?
So it just opened up a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And they're only hosting music once a week on Sundays. And it's it's a really cool listening room. So it sounds incredible in there. It holds only like 40 people. It's all seated. Really nice stage. Like a really great setup. And then it sounds incredible in there. And so we're gonna do that as three singer songwriters on that night. So that'll be a nice fun show.
That'll be awesome.
And then in August I'm playing the Hotel Cafe again with the band. So should be a good time.
Hotel Cafe is a great venue. I can't say enough good things about that place. So Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, where can everybody find you for your websites and all that good stuff?
Yeah, arihurstand.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Oh, yeah. A-R-I is Ari. And then Herstand, it's a compound word. Herstand. And then .com.
Is that your real last name?
That is my real last name.
I just
want
to make sure.
Unfortunately.
You had to be picked on as a kid with that last name.
Yeah, it's an Ellis Island name. There's only like 12 of us in the world.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Or on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat.
Snapchat. There's going to be a new one in like 3 months, so just list it too.
Right, that new one, I'm on it.
I'm on it. Right. I'm already there.
Flaboying? Everybody get on Flaboying.
Yeah.
There we go.
You're going to play us another song. What are you going to play us next?
So this is my newest song. I just released it a couple months ago. I've been with my girlfriend for 8 years. I mentioned we've kind of moved out here together.
You're married now.
And I think legally. And so this is kind of about just appreciating the moments that most people don't necessarily step back and appreciate it.
Is she like, are you going to play us another song?
Well, this is actually, she'll be the first to say and remind me that this is honestly the only true love song I've ever written for her. I don't really write love songs. Yeah.
That was a little more suggestive than I meant it.
Yeah, not that kind of love song.
Wow. Wow, hey. Seriously.
I usually turn to music when I'm in a not so great place, so she doesn't love most of the songs on any of my records because it's kind of like
she's gone fight. Yeah.
It's like we'll have a little fight and then it's, you know, immortalized on a record. Whereas like with most people when they have a fight, it's like, okay, it's over, it's no big deal.
Right.
But then I hit like, and make it a huge deal.
Yeah.
On my record.
And every time you come and see me, let me remind you of how I felt at that specific time.
So
slap in the face.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
So this is a song that she can bear to listen to. No.
Before the sun has wrestled through our blinds, my body wakes me up. A quiet dream finale breathes from your lips. I catch it with a kiss. You turn to me and you ask, what time is it? I grab my phone and let you know it's too early. I love these ordinary times, breaths before the moments, and in these ordinary times, I'm at ease with you. Corner froyo shop late at night. Walk over in our sweats. We get our bowls to go with plastic spoons and return back home. We climb in bed and cue up our favorite show. You fall asleep on my chest before it's over. I love these ordinary times, breaths before the moments, and in these ordinary times, I'm at ease with you. A warm body pressed to yours. Long drives back home. Old clothes you'll never throw away. I'm at ease a late morning brunch at our spot, a table in the sun. Every dog that comes to say hello, you greet him with a kiss. You look at me with those eyes that says you want one. We both know it'll probably be a few more years. I love these ordinary times, breaths before the moments, and in these ordinary times I'm at ease with you.
Wow, super beautiful. That was awesome, man.
That was great.
I got to ask you two questions.
Really good. Yeah.
One, what? Tell me the story about the hole in your guitar, not the one under the strings. But yeah. There is a hole. It's like a size of a coin.
Yeah.
And you have. It's very Willie Nelson of you.
Yeah. So that wasn't actually there about 4 years ago. I've had this guitar about 10 years, and I used to be a camp counselor back in high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And as a camp counselor, I had to strum incredibly hard, so all 250 kids could hear my guitar, and so that's why I think I learned to strum just way too aggressively, and right. So that just kind of carried on, and that's so I just strummed so aggressively. Wow. That it just kind of
you strummed
just,
so hard that you strummed a hole in your guitar.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of progressively.
You should wear a cape for that.
Just scraped away. Yeah. So yeah,
hey, we're gonna have to separate that guitar from.
Oh, no, really. Seriously, go easy on that guitar.
Yeah, I know. I think it sounds better, actually.
Well, it gives a character.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
The first time I nicked my guitar, I was, like, so bummed.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I love all the nicks on my guitar.
Yeah,
it's like, it's
gives a character. That's true.
It gives a vibe. But that is a huge nick.
Yeah, it just keeps getting bigger.
That's pretty much a punch in the face of all.
Totally.
The other question I wanted to ask you is, like, who are some of your biggest influences? I love that question because... Uh-huh. I'm a songwriter myself, and I love no one who influences others.
Totally. Well, I mean, in high school, actually, early on in kind of middle school, high school, Dave Matthews was one of my biggest influences.
High five! All man.
Right.
Do you have a sun tattoo?
I do not.
Oh,
okay. No. None of you guys are real.
Fire dancer. Right.
No. I've opened up for Dave Matthews, man.
I read about that.
I've opened up for
him
twice.
Will you tell me that story? That blows my
dude,
mind.
Dude, I'll tell you that off
all right,
the air.
Tell me off the air.
That's one of my favorite bands.
That's incredible.
Favorite bands ever.
Me too. I would go see him. I mean, with the band I was in high school, we would go every summer and go.
I still go. I still go every summer. One show. I used to do like five. Now I do one.
They let you in without a sun tattoo?
Totally.
They're more like, get this guy out of here. He's been here too much.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, they, above all, I mean, they're one of my favorites from early on. And then, let's see, like Ben Folds was a kind of big influence.
He's great.
He was a lot of... I opened for him.
That's awesome. I read that on your blog.
Yeah, that was a dream come true.
He just released a piano concerto, right? He started scoring and composing.
Yeah, he's played a lot with orchestras, and so now I guess his new record is... Yeah,
The Luckiest, that's one of the best songs I've ever written.
Beautiful song. That record, Rockin' the Suburbs, was like my freshman of college experience. Yeah.
It's such a songwriter record, you know?
And totally.
He's such a badass. He's a great musician.
In my book, he folds 6 or 7 easily.
Of your cheeks.
Hey!
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Okay. Thank you.
You're like, okay. Yeah. I've got 7 cheeks.
All right. I'll take it.
Who else?
Well, you mentioned Colin Hay. You know, I loved him. And there's also this singer-songwriter, Canadian. He's not super well-known. His name is Bruce Cobourne. Finger-picking guy. He's been around since the late 60s, and I have most of his records. He's released a record pretty consistently almost every 3 years since, like, 1969. He's incredible. He's so prolific. In kind of the Ani DeFranco camp, so he was one of her influences. They've sang on each other's records. And the Bare Naked Ladies covered a few Bruce Cobourne songs, and so a lot of people have covered a few of his songs.
Check him out, man.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's such a great songwriter. So he's one of my favorites. that not too many people.
See, that's why I asked that question, because I like discovering it's new, cool new to artists. See, you're like, dude, that's amazing. That's rad.
That's one I would highly recommend.
Bruce Coburn. All right. Check him out. One more time. Tell us everywhere you're playing and give us your websites one more time for our listeners.
So it's arihrestand.com. It's A-R-I-H-E-R-S-T-A-N-D. And then you can find Ari Herstand everywhere if you just search it. All my other social stuff's up there, and iTunes and Spotify. And then, yeah, so this Sunday, July 5th, I'm at Fox and Hounds in Studio City. Sunday, July 12th, I'm at Open Space with Nina.
Yeah, they like Open Space.
With Nina Story and Jesse McLeod. And then August 20th, I'm playing just after Miko at the Hotel Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
So I know Miko's fantastic. Yeah,
she's great.
And so, yeah, those are my three upcoming shows. And then I'm doing a few living room concerts around the area. I'm doing some of the Fans Well stuff. But mostly kind of just hanging around.
Right on. Ari, you've been a wonderful guest.
Hey,
great to have you on.
Do we have time to play another one of the songs?
Yeah, let's play something else. What do you
I liked a short day. I want to hear another.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Let's see. Number four is
Keep Fighting.
Keep Fighting.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Cool.
Supposed to make a plan with you, a part of every choice you're giving me. I only boss, I want you to make a plan without the help of me this time. You decide you're better off just letting go and giving up. Tell me how to let you be. I leave tonight and you won't see me go. You're giving me too many signs. I can't read between the lines. No, all I want's for you to be strong enough to drive. I'll sit back and ride. I want to.
That was awesome. Seriously.
That was great.
Thank you very much.
I love that rhythm guitar. That
Jake Hansen, he's a badass.
So dope. Very, very cool. Thank you so much for coming by the studio. We'd love to hear more from you, so come back.
Yeah,
we appreciate that so much.
Totally.
Check him out, arihairstand.com, right?
Yes, yes.
And Dave, you want to promote any website or anything?
No way! if you want to look up the Journey Birds on Facebook, that's me and Keela's group.
Oh, nice.
But we're figuring out
our next
open mic. Just Facebook, Journey Birds. Look up the Journey Birds.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Nice name.
We're on there.
In Los Angeles, I'm back for my first show back from Summerfest, and pretty much in you know, for our first gig back since Zane passed away. I'll be at the Mint 10 o'clock on Friday, July 3rd. So before you leave for all the fireworks and all that stuff, come hear some good music. We'll see you here next week. This is Wake Up Hollywood. I'm Nikki Carulla. That's Dave Jensen. This is Ari Hurst, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody!
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.